Man, we're still thinking about some stuff. I don't know. I've always been a big fishing advocate, so I was telling my wife, and she's annoyed with me, but I'll say it. But I'd like to get a bass boat one day, so yeah, that'll be my first big purchase.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Wait, a what?
A bass boat.
A bass boat?
A bass boat.
Okay.
And then buy a bass lake, dog. Buy the whole lake.
Just buy all the bass.
That's it.
You could buy a Bass Pro Shops.
Yep.
And you could do that.
Former Astro Kevin Bass.
Didn't they just get married? His wife's already annoyed at him?
Could probably buy a bassinet. I mean, you're freshly newlywed.
Man, I'm about to get married this summer, and if I sign a contract for $265 million, she's never going to be annoyed with me.
Quick no. Google search. Bass boats run you about $15,000, somewhere between $15,000 and $22,000.
Hey, all right. So,
and you get a boat. And so you get a boat.
He'll make that in the first, like, snap of the first game, I think. So, anyway, let's have some fun. Brock Purdy, that's from the intro press conference. It's official. Fountain pen to paper earlier this week. He's got his new deal. Lots going on with the Niners. And we are thrilled to be joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth on the River Islands guest line. He hosts the Stinkin' Truth podcast, as you know. Make sure you check that out, the Stinkin' Truth podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Hey, Stink, how you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. You ever been on a bass boat before?
Sure, I've been on a bass boat. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman, but I've been on a few bass boats in my day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, apparently that's what Brock Purdy would like to buy. So that'll run about 15 grand, and then there'll be 264 million in change still left over. What's your reaction to this deal?
Well, I mean, listen, the deal to me is great, and it's inevitable. And, you know, it's funny how much pushback you get on Brock Purdy and how, I don't want to call him controversial, but how people just feel like, for whatever reason, they feel like he's not worth it. Like, they are overpaying him to play the quarterback position. And it's interesting to me because I think a lot of it has to do with a lack of understanding of the quarterback position. I think the easiest thing in the world to see is athleticism, right? You can see a guy that can run fast. You can see a guy that can jump high. You can see a guy that's big and that's physical and all those things. And none of those things actually, you know, they're all helpful from an athlete standpoint, but none of them none of them define you as a football player, how good you are as a football player. And so I tend to kind of look at those things and say, man, it's nice if you have them, but when I watch Brock Purdy, you know, his feet in the pocket, how his feet line up to his progressions, how he gets through progressions, how he eliminates a concept right off the bat in pre-snap because he realizes, hey, man, this isn't good against the defense they're running, and gets to the backside, gets to the third or fourth guy in a progression. Those are the things from the neck up, his ability to make snap decisions, make them correctly, and get the ball accurately to his guys. That's the stuff that matters to me at the quarterback position. Yeah, if you are a great athlete and you can run really fast and you're a big physical dude and all that stuff, that's great, but that's secondary to me compared to that neck-up process that really defines whether you can play the quarterback position or not.
Does it also matter to you that he happens to fit very well with Shanahan and the personnel and the system as well?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, you know, people say, well, he's a system quarterback. Yeah, like everybody plays in a system, right? And do you orchestrate that system well? Do you understand that system? Can you get through, you know, can you operate that system at a high level? Can you go from the run game to the pass game and back forth? Can you audible? Do you understand? Like, all that stuff is important, and all the great quarterbacks to me, you know, operate within their system, operate exceptionally well within their system, and, you know, and most of them have really good weapons. And so, to me, a lot of the thing about the quarterback position is funny. The stuff that I think the general fan covets They covet the big arm, like arm talent. Oh, man, did you see that guy, you know, throw into a team meeting? Well, ultimately, I don't want to do throwing into a team meeting, right? I think one of the coolest things for me is I was doing a game, a Tampa game, with Tom Brady, obviously, as the quarterback. And so I'm talking to Byron Leftwich, who was the offensive coordinator, longtime quarterback in the National Football League. And I was like, all right, what sets him apart? From your, like, you played the position for a long time. What sets him apart? And he's like, it's the boring. He said, if the first read in the progression, if you're running curl flat, and the flat is open, and the flat's, you know, a 6 yard, bring back to 4 yard off coverage, you know, it's just a flat route that goes from the inside part of the football, you know, from the hash marks out to the flat, right, out to the sideline. And Byron said, if the flat is the first read in the progression, or it is the first read in the progression, and it's open, Tom Brady will throw it 100 out of 100 times and make it second down and 5 minus. He will do it every single time. He doesn't go, no, that's boring. Let me get off it and see if I can throw the curl, or let me see if I can throw the backside. You know, he does, like, no, that's not what I do. And that, to me, creates efficiency, creates long drives, creates essentially a situation where you're in third down and 4 minus, and the whole entirety of the playbook is open to you as a play caller. And that, to me, those things are beautiful. But the general fan can't understand that, doesn't understand that concept, because it's not sexy. It's not big. It's not over the top. It's not, you know, it's not any of those things. So they tend to get bored with that.
Mark Schlereth is joining us here at Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Stink, I'll tell you what else I'd love to hear you expand on. I've watched a lot of your comments recently with regard to the talent the 49ers lost, the veteran talent in the offseason that they either traded or let walk, and they've replenished that with, right now, all we know as just names. Names in the draft and whatnot. They've gotten younger and cheaper in some spots. But you sound very optimistic with regard to what they've done. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that I just saw as I did one of their games late last year, and obviously know the organization pretty well. And like this happened to me last year in Denver. You know, I've lived in Denver. I'm in New York now doing a show on FS1 called Breakfast Ball, but I'm in New York now. But last year I was doing, you know, my radio show from Denver, Colorado, from training camp. And they came out, like all the pundits came out with, you know, they always do this every year, like the ranking of the rosters. And the Broncos rank like 31st or 30th in total roster makeup. And everybody talked about how they didn't have good players on their roster. And I was sitting there going, well, no, you guys have this all wrong. They've got really good players on their roster. They just don't have name value on their roster. And there's a big difference, right? Guys have not had the opportunity to make a name for themselves. My first game that I ever played in, I'm playing against the Philadelphia Eagles in Philly. I'm on the bus, right? The Philadelphia Eagles across, Byron Evans is the middle linebacker. They've got Jerome Brown, Clyde Simmons, they've got Mike Pitts, they've got Reggie White. Like, they have got a cavalcade of all-pro players. They're the number one defense in football, and I'm sitting on the bus scared to death as a little 10th rounder out of Idaho. And Doug Williams walked on the bus, and make a long story short, he just told me, hey, listen, the only difference between those guys and you is they had a chance to make a name for themselves, and today's your chance to make a name for yourself, and I believe in you. And I went in that game and whipped some ass. I got a game ball, got in a fight. I mean, the whole nine yards. Like, I'm not getting punked by anybody, right? And so, like, ultimately, going back to my Broncos statement was, you guys just don't know those names. You haven't watched any of these kids play, and they're actually pretty damn good. And I look at San Francisco. At the end of the season, Pearsall, I thought, was exceptional.
Yep.
And then I thought what they figured out with Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is a full-grown-ass man who want, like the one thing he has to do is keep from fighting people. Like, that dude sets a tone at the wide receiver position. And what they figured out was he's a pretty damn good X. Like, he can play that position, but we still think he's got the, you know, got the onions to do all the things that Debo did. Maybe not as efficient because of Debo's, you know, just body build like a fullback, but he does all that dirty work stuff. And then, you know, you will get Ayuk back. And if Christian McCaffrey's healthy, like all those things. And then defensively, we had some young kids in the secondary that played exceptionally well. Greenlaw didn't play at all really last year. He played that game in the rain against the Rams in a little bit. And, you know, Hufanga got hurt again. So, I you know, and I thought the, what's the kid's name, Mustafa?
Yeah.
Oh, that dude is a heat-seeking missile. Now, I know he's got he's kind of hurt right now.
Yep.
But that dude, like, watching him on tape, I was like there's a reason he gets hurt. Because that guy has a blatant disregard for his own well-being. He is a freak show. And so I'm, like, watching a bunch of young guys and corners and everybody else going, they're really talented. And they got experience playing last year when a bunch of guys were hurt. So, like man, I look at it like, just because you don't know the names or they don't have the name value, like, don't count them out.
Yeah, and they get somebody back that they hadn't had in a few years, Robert Saleh. How much does that change a defense, Stink, when you have a coordinator who's come back, one that has experience? Does that really make an appreciable difference for a defense?
Yeah, you know, Saleh's one of those guys that obviously D'Amico Ryans took over when Saleh left, right? And D'Amico is really good, and then he went to Houston, and he's been great there, and D'Amico's a wonderful coach. But the last couple of years with Wilkes, it didn't work out. The styles, you know, what he was asked to do, like, that's not his style of defense that he was asked to come in and play. And so, like, that was a non-fit, and that always felt like there was friction there. And then last year, what's the guy's name, Sorensen?
Yep.
Like, that didn't work out last year, and so... Like, it just feels like they've been between coordinators. And one thing I've always loved about Robert, obviously he gets his guys to play exceptionally hard, but he's one of those dudes that, and I love this about football guys, like, he's a real football dude, but, like, keep it simple, stupid. Like, make it simple and just play better than the offense that you're playing against. And I think he's got a real feel for saying, this is what we do, this is who we are, and we're going to live in this world, and my guys are just going to be able to execute. And, you know, I'll go back to playing for Mike Shanahan, obviously Kyle's father. We literally won back-to-back world championships in Denver on six plays. Our run game consisted of six plays. That was it. And, you know, we would window dress it, and we'd do a lot of different things. Now, Kyle, you know, has expanded, and they run a lot more stuff. But, again, it's about having an identity, knowing exactly who you are, and what you want to do. And I think that connection between Robert and the defense and Saleh and Fred Warner, I think it's just going to be exceptional. And so I think he makes a huge difference, and he is – truly not only one of my favorite coaches, but just one of my favorite people. So he's just a great dude. I think he's a hell of a football coach.
You're listening to Stink. Mark Schlereth is with us here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, would you have voted for or against the banishment of the tush push today?
You know, it's interesting because I actually love the play, but I'm on record as saying, hey, man, I would ban it based upon they banned it on the special teams aspect of football. When I played, man, you used to get pile driven, right? You get a guy in the A gap and a guy pushing behind him, and they deemed that play too dangerous. So on special teams, you're not allowed to do that on PAT field goal or punt protection. You can't push, you can't propel and push a guy through the line of scrimmage. But it's okay on the offensive side of the ball. It's not dangerous on the offensive side of the ball, just on the defensive side of the ball, right? And so just the lack of congruency in the rule bothers the piss out of me. Like, if it's okay to do on offense, then it should be okay to do on defense and special teams. And so that part, like, if it was an advantage to the defensive side of the ball, then they would ban it because we want more offense. So that lack of equity just tends to really bother me.
That's a great breakdown, because I'm thinking about the same thing in terms of the aesthetics of the kickoff stink. And Mark and I are going to have a debate later in the show about the one rule you want to see change. And for me, I want to bring back the kickoff, because the kickoff that we had last year, to me, is it takes away the onside kick for one. And for another thing, it takes away some of the majesty of the true nature of the kickoff. What do you think about what we saw last year with the new rule?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. The other thing is, I think the teams, like, I understand why they did it, and I covered kickoffs as a rookie and got this living piss knocked out of myself a couple of times. So, you know, I said to myself, I am not crazy enough to play on kickoff cover, and if it comes down to making this team on kickoff cover, I'm going to cut. So, like, those dudes are insane, but if you really study it, like, there is a flag on three quarters of those plays, and they're on the offensive side of the ball, right? The return team. So if you're a good coverage team and you've got a kicker that can put it in that area where they have to return it, the odds are is you're going to stop them inside the 30, and the odds are you're going to get a holding call, and so you're going to get really good field position if you play it correctly, but. Yes, you know, it's a little hokey, and then it's a hokey play, and then you decide to call it the dynamic kickoff rule. And I'm like, you know, how about the boring kickoff rule?
Exactly.
You know, right? So anyhow, but I get the whole safety thing, and I understand, and it did eliminate a lot of or cut back way back on a lot of concussions. So I suppose, you know, it's here to stay.
Stink, I want to run something by you. I saw that the Bills were announced as this year's training camp Hard Knocks team. And I know in the NFL, especially the good teams are like, we don't want to do this. Like, we don't need the drama. We don't need the cameras all over the place. But I'm sort of more circumstantial about it. And I wonder if the 49ers sometime soon might not be a good candidate for Hard Knocks, because A, it's a huge brand. But at the core of my opinion is, I think Kyle Shanahan could use a little humanizing to the public, because he takes a lot of flack. And my understanding is the players love the dude, but he's not great in a press conference. And so fans don't really get to see all sides of Kyle. What do you think about that?
Well, listen, I probably have more access than I should tell you about. And he is hilarious and dynamic in those meetings. I think he's been influenced by Belichick a little bit. Like, if you've ever sat down with Belichick, you know, in a one-on-one where you're either just talking about football or you're just talking about life in general, Belichick is funny. He's dynamic. He is nothing like his press conference. And Kyle Shanahan is very much the same way. Like, he has used that Belichick kind of persona in front of the press to make himself seem as boring as possible. But, dude, he is, like, in the meetings, and when you watch him in meetings and you watch him interact with his team, and he's funny and he's sarcastic and he gets the dudes going. He is he's great, and he's just – I'm just a huge fan of the way he coaches his team and the way they play the game and the way they're prepared every week.
Of all the teams you played on, and they didn't have Hard Knocks back then, but who was a teammate that you had, or maybe a team that you were on, that we all would have loved to see in a Hard Knocks-like format?
Oh, I think the Broncos teams I played on, you know, with Elway and with Terrell Davis and, you know, Shannon Sharp and Alfred Williams, I mean, he played in San Francisco one year, yep. Alfred Williams. But, you know, Big Al is the world's he's just the world's loudest individual. Great dude. We had Neil Smith. Like, we had a lot of characters, a lot of great players, and just a really, really fun and solid team. I think that probably would have been really entertaining television. You know, the most entertaining guy we had was Alex Gibbs, my offensive line coach, who was, I mean, screaming, cussing. Like, we used to have to, when we played in Greeley, Colorado, where our training camp, they would try to move us, and like they would change the dynamics of how the fans could watch, but they would put us in the far corners when we practiced and we did individual stuff, because he was so busy dropping F-bombs and, you know, you this sucker and that sucker, and like it, like we'd have to get escorted away from the fans because we're like, man, this guy is so raunchy. So it would have been pretty entertaining television, no question about it.
Shannon Sharpe has a big personality. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I couldn't see that.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Stink, thanks, man. Great having you. We loved it. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Okay, there he goes. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Make sure you check out the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine like Hard Knocks, Oakland Raiders, 1977, with Madden and Stabler and Matuszak and Otis Sistrunk and all those guys. Like you couldn't air it, you know, back in those days. That's why I was curious about his teams, you know, and the Bronco team that he mentioned with, you know, Shannon Sharpe and Otis Smith and some of the other guys. Interesting, you know.
No doubt. I don't know why I had a different reaction today than I ever have before when it was announced who was going to be on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, kind of feels like a time coming off 6 of 11. This might help the. Normally, I'm like, no, don't need it. This might help the 49ers right now, and the fact that they've got their franchise QB and they have the personalities in the room. And I know, as Mark said, Kyle Shanahan would gain some fans if they were given some access to the way he actually conducts himself. I just know it. And it might be good for them right now. Like, it's not going to happen. It's going to be at least a year away, but...
Yeah, because they're not eligible until they miss it, the playoffs, I think, 2 straight years. Then you become eligible.
I don't know how the eligibility goes, because the Bills are doing it, and the Bills were obviously in the playoffs. So, I think that you're allowed to say no based on those rules.
Yeah.
But you could probably say yes anytime you want. Like, I think they would love to have the Niners if they would say yes. They don't have to say yes, though, yet, because they've only missed the playoffs.
Right, and just
time.
Think about the personalities with George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Juszczyk with, you know, somewhat of celebrity spouses.
Yep.
You've got Robert Saleh, big personality, Kyle Shanahan, the genius. You've got the $53 million quarterback now with the aw shucks demeanor. You've got Fred Warner and his new deal and his very popular, not quite celebrity wife, but somebody who has become
recognizable.
Well-known.
Yep.
You got the third-round kicker who now has competition.
Lenore is all kinds of personality.
No doubt.
Just got paid.
Yep.
So,
I mean,
anyway.
You've got Trent Williams, who has got an unbelievable story, and he's a Hall of Famer. I do think that they have a lot of compelling stories that could be told.
So the Tush Push stays, and we wanted to throw this out. We'll talk about it a little bit. The Tush Push stays, but what rule would you like to see changed in the NFL? We can take a few calls on that. We're going to head our way back to Giannis and Jimmy Butler in the 5 o'clock hour. But 888-957-9570. What rule would you like to see changed in the NFL? We've both got some things we'd like to throw out there, and we'll take your calls right now. 888-957-9570. Before we skedaddle here, some sad news to pass along, and that is that the Indianapolis Colts have announced that owner Jim Irsay has passed away.
Mm.
And that just came down a few minutes ago. Jim Irsay, born in 1959, passes away today, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts.
Man.
So let's see. Quick math. This was not an old man. I don't know if he's had
65.
His birthday. Yeah, still in his 60s. So Jim Irsay, rest in peace, owner of the Indianapolis Colts. All right. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, Valkyries have the Washington Mystics in town. Second game for the Valkyries. You can hear the game on 95.7 The Game. Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app as well. Kevin Dana and Sophia Jones will have the call. You can also watch the game on KPIX Plus. Pre-games at 6:30. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, Willard and Dibs.